Oh, well, yeah. I mean, if you just take Earth population against 21 million and or 17, right? 17.5 or whatever it really is, because the other four are missing or something, you know? So that being said, it's like, it's insanely scarce, like more than any other precious thing that we could imagine, the way it's structured, right? So to own one, as we know, is just going to be one of those things that no one in the very soon, I think in the very near future, is going to have a whole Bitcoin, right? It's just, it's going to be those things where we're all working in Chitoshi, and that's just the reality of it. So, and I can't wait to that time, because I think that's where it is, where the power is truly at. We can start using it. Right now we're all holding it, right? So the goal would be to get to a point where the masses are actually utilizing it, and then we see, I think that's when we'll see the true power of it.
Hey, welcome to the Total Bitcoin Podcast Show. My name is Kevin Davani, the Total Connector. I'm super excited to announce my next talk, my next episode with Josh Lopez. He got in touch with me via, you know, LinkedIn or, you know, direct message or something, and he got me in touch with Grant Rumund, the founder and CEO of Ocean Builders, you know, who's also somehow in cooperating with Seasteading Institute and Free Private Cities, you know. So all these like real existing technological innovations that are taking place on, you know, when it comes to homing, housing, habitation. So without further ado, it's going to be a great talk. I mean, just alone, you know, the wording on his in his profile, it says, great spirits have always found violent opposition from meteorites. The latter cannot understand it when a man does not thoughtlessly submit to hereditary prejudices, but honestly and courageously uses his intelligence. Awesome. So from that moment on, I knew, you know, this guy gets it. He you know, he had read my short brainstorm article on my film project, on my vision. So, and really excited. Let me know what you think. Like it, retweet, share it, follow me, subscribe to the channel and to my podcast platform. Thank you so much for your support and for listening. Without further ado, this is my talk. And let me know if you have any questions. My email and DMs are open. hello@thetotalconnector.com. And I'll talk to you soon. Have fun. We're live. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for for getting me in touch with Grant, because I need to, you know, tell a little bit the background story. It's really fascinating, because I put out that article, that short brainstorm article on the Frame Project, which I'm really glad now that you and Grant, both of you, are in this group now. And so you got me in contact with Grant, and then I looked up your background, you know, your profile on LinkedIn. I'm like, that's a really fascinating, you know, profile and the spectrum of interests you have. It's amazing. So Josh Lopez, thanks so much for, you know, coming on my show. And why don't you, you know, tell me or my listeners a little bit about yourself. You were just talking before we started recording about Texas, because I heard from my girlfriend, is like she read something like about there's, you know, people are like really pissed off because so many people are emigrating or you're moving from California to Texas. I, by the way, I grew up 5 years in California, Los Angeles, so maybe we have something in common there.
Go
ahead and tell a little bit about yourself.
Oh, wonderful. So yeah, I did, as you mentioned, move from Los Angeles to Austin, Texas about 14 years ago. And there's a huge influx of Californians coming this way, right? And there is a stigma there as regards to locals being like, you're overrunning all of our clubs and bars and changing the culture and making it much. I mean, Austin's always been a very progressive, liberal type environment anywhere else than Texas, right? So Texas is very red and Austin is blue, right? So if you align with those sorts of things, then Austin is a reasonable place for a Californian to be like, I'm going to Texas. I can buy a ton of land and huge square footage of property for a fraction of what California real estate is going for. And then it's just easy to do. So you sell a house in California and you can buy a ranch here, a mansion of a ranch, cash, and still have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, right? So that's it's enticing.
Mm-hmm. So
That's why most of
Okay. And is the reason Joe Rogan moved to Austin, is that for tax reasons, you think, or just because of
Yeah,
the
I
whole
didn't. I mean,
atmosphere?
I definitely heard of Rogan coming this way. There's just a lot of buzz here with Tesla getting one of their gigafactories going here now, and Rogan coming this way. There's some high-profile people already here. We have all the big players: Apple, Samsung, Hewlett-Packard. It's just endless. It's always been known for its tech. So for a very long time, Dell originated here. So all of this has been here for a long, long time, and it just keeps expanding. The land is inexpensive, so these corporations can set up, acres of campus and provide these work live type environments with huge parks along the river. And it's difficult to do that in other places. So it's definitely something that's calling a lot of these high profile people and companies to Austin.
Right.
And I'm benefiting from it. So I got here 14 years ago and it's been boomtown ever since. So my real estate's doing just fine.
That's great. Yeah. On your, on your profile, on your LinkedIn profile, it says here, I mean, a bunch of things. It's so fascinating what you've done. I mean, it's amazing. Like, you've also done multiple patent applications, created hundreds of conceptual designs, business plans, owned and operate multiple businesses. Do you see, like, because it's a, it's a Bitcoin podcast show, what is your, I mean, what is your perspective? What is your understanding of Bitcoin when it comes to, to your ethos, to your, vision, perspectives? Like, how can we, like, connect that to all that, what you've been doing, and, the visions, and the what should I say? The ethos, you live.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd probably go further back than some of your guests. Mine goes about 35 years ago, to a schoolyard fight, right? So the bully scenario, I'm not getting bullied, someone else is getting bullied. But it's always been in my nature to try to bring justice and keep the peace, right? So I defended this child, and I was of the smaller of all of them, right? And in that, I remember getting a feeling of like, you know what? People need to do this. Like, we need to stand up to systems that are corrupt. And it started in a very simple scenario of just a bully environment where it did change the situation. The kid did see that what he was doing was wrong, because it wasn't just a fight. Although it did get physical, there was discussion on like, why are you doing these things? Like, what is going on in your head to want to cause trouble with this person, right? And I believe that I've always had that, even at a very young age. So as we progressed through that, as I would analyze systems for their fairness, right? And their efficiency. So efficiency as an inventor, as an engineer by design, I'm always analyzing things for and rethinking things to make them more efficient, right? It's just how I'm wired. And that bringing me through school and up into my interests, I really did a lot of that type of work, right? And it brought me to projects such as like the Venus Project, right? And the Venus Project is a beautiful project. It has some components that don't sit well, especially economic models and things
Was
like
that
that, right?
mentioned in that Zeitgeist movie, right? The Venus Project, like,
Yes,
yeah, okay,
absolutely.
yeah.
Jacques Fresco has been 50 plus years. I mean, he's passed now, but he was creating beautiful, sustainable structures and rethinking all the systems well before most, and doing beautiful work, right? And that's always been fascinating to me. So in that, as I was in that space, I came across a seasteading institute, right? So in the seasteading institute, I aligned myself with them, and then they have a project that was adopting their methods. The Blue Frontiers was adopted, right? And we were working on getting floating cities in Tahiti, right? Mm-hmm. So the French Polynesian government had signed an MOU to have us come down there, and we were ready to get it done, right? And then it got right in the middle after, I think, a year or so, got right in the middle of an election, and the opposing party took it as an opportunity to bolster some support with the locals, because the locals were feeling like, you know, all these rich Europeans are coming down here again, and they're going to steal our fishing grounds and take over our country. And you know, I can understand why they could feel that, because historically it had happened, right? Mm. But this model was not that. And it was very plain that it was not that. We were going down there to stimulate their economy, try to empower them. There was a percentage that we were going to make allowed for them to live on the seasteads, work on the seasteads, generate revenue around there. And it was the best we can possibly do to try to get this thing done. So in that, a good majority of them are libertarianist, right? So the Bitcoin is at the very fundamentals of their belief structures, I would say, if I was to put it that way. And so that was really my first introduction. I've heard of it since its inception, right? But it seemed like another share or stock mm-hmm. to invest in. Yeah. Right? It wasn't like a thing. It was just, oh yeah, that I heard that's a good investment. So I was looking at it kind of like cannabis stocks.
Yeah.
And right? I was like, yeah, you invest in cannabis. It's a good thing. It had the buzzword, you know, and all the supporting technology around cannabis. I was like, Bitcoin's kind of like that, right? Like you support blockchain and these other coins.
It's just so funny that it happens to so many like really bright people, like, you know, that are like so hardcore into Bitcoin right now. They just dismissed it at the beginning, you know, because they didn't even take it seriously. They didn't read the white paper, or I didn't, you know, I should have listened to Max Keiser at the very beginning. I remember him talking to Alex Schoen. He said, buy Bitcoin. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? You know, like,
I know. And I found an email, and it was 2010 that I sent to my buddy. I said, hey, we got to buy Bitcoin and we got to buy a bunch of cannabis stock. Neither of us did either of those things. Right? And I look back on it and I said, you want me to do the math? And he's like, no, I don't want you to do the math. I said, yeah, we would not be in the same place we are now. I mean, we're talking multimillionaires.
Let me ask you just one before I interrupt. I didn't want to interrupt you, but one question. No, when you first encountered Bitcoin, or when you, let's say, more seriously, you know, somehow took a look at it, did you understand the absolute scarcity of it? Like, did you get that? Because it took me a long time. Yeah.
I mean, if you just take Earth population against 21 million and or 17, right? 17.5 uh-huh. or whatever it really is, because the other four are missing or something, right. You know? So. So that being said, it's like, it's insanely scarce, like more than any other precious thing that we could imagine, the way it's structured, right? So to own one, as we know, is just going to be one of those things that no one in the very near future is going to have a whole Bitcoin, right? It's going to be those things where we're all working in Satoshi, and that's just the reality of it. So, and I can't wait to that time, because I think that's where it is, where the power is truly at. Right?
Yeah.
We can start using it. Right now we're all holding it, right? So the goal would be to get to a point where the masses are actually utilizing it. And then mm-hmm. we see, I think that's when we'll see the true power of it.
Josh, what is your vision? Like, you know, I've been trying like to communicate my vision and get, you know, get all these people together. You know, everybody, like each one of these, you know, beautiful minds and you know, souls that we have in this group, in this film group, they're all mostly Bitcoiners. You know, one of them is like super like talented in making animations. The other one, you know, whatever, written books, you know, like Knut Svartholm or Joni Appelberg doing the animations, or other people like on economics, Austin Economics. You know, like, or Stephanie, like,
fantastic
understands,
team, yeah.
like amazing, yeah. Like about central bank monetary, you know, I mean, the root causes of this whole shit that we are in. Like, I want to know, what is your vision? Like, how would you start a film? Because I don't want to make an ordinary documentary. I mean, it's not my project. I see it as our project. And if we can't do this like together, then I don't know, then I feel I failed somehow. But yeah. I really want to know, Because I'm a moron, in a lot of things, but on the other hand, I think we shouldn't overestimate the intellectual, because people, are so entrenched in their daily, lives with responsibility, jobs, and brainwashing, media indoctrination. And I think this is going to be the challenge, the first whatever, 30 seconds, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the trailer. I think this is where we're going to pick up the people. And if we can't achieve that, it's gone. It's just going to be another documentary. It's going to be watched by a fraction of, of the audience out there who is already, by the way, probably into Bitcoin or economics or something like that. But it's not going to be like the critical mass, whatever that critical mass is, whether it's going to be 5 million people, 10 million people, or 500 million people. This is what I want to know from you. What is your vision?
Okay, so to go back to my story and how my exposure was and my mentality of thinking that it was just another investment, right? So people invest in what they can align with. For the most part, it's either, okay, it's making a ton of money, or somehow they morally align with it and they want to support it. So then they invest their monies. So if in the movie, in the film, or especially the trailer, if we can communicate to the masses, right, truly in some very unique way, communicate to them, all of the things that they inherently despise, right? Like they just like this, these are things that we all collectively don't agree with as regards to, government, economies, the basic, but we have to spin it to where we're not just complaining about these things, we're actually providing solution to it, right? And explaining those solutions in visual presentation, right? So the first thing that came to my mind, and I shared a few little videos that I had seen that communicated, but one was to produce the reverse of one very popular animated piece that showed a character walking through, and like it was personifying greed in the system, and it showed him going through and like slaughtering baby seals and putting its coat on and going through and dumping and trash and just building all this just destruction and greed across the whole landscape as he's navigating through all of these things, and he's touching on all of these areas that are of significant concern, environmental concerns, economic concerns, right? Psychological concerns. It was like a true sociopath, right? And how they would respond to every normal human situation with no emotion. Just like, it's money, baby, it's money. I don't give a shit what happens. I'm killing, I'm robbing, I'm raping. That's power. Everything else is weakness, and that's it, right? So through the whole thing, ends up on this mound, everything's dead around it. It's just gone. And he's sitting up there on his throne with everything dead, right? And I would like to see the reverse of that, and some of the things is daily use. I think that'd be very important to communicate, where someone is walking through these events of life, and there's a video that I shared about that, where you see them, they're scanning and paying and bartering, and they're doing all the stuff that humans do on a day-to-day, but it's all Bitcoin-based, right? Everything they do is done on it. So everything that we pay for, and services, products, all of it, we're using Bitcoin, right? And in a positive way, and then somehow communicate that the impacts of that, right? And the systems, not fighting the systems, but creating new systems, right? And making these other ones obsolete. So that's why they call it, a silent battle or a peaceful battle and things to that effect, right? Is because you don't actually have to go into the street marching, rioting. You don't have to do any of those things. And that's really what appeals to me, because I'm not one of those personalities. I don't want to have to implement violence to try to bring peace, right? I just want to outthink the other guy. Just like, be smart about it. Be a master, right?
And
And a
create something
master,
new, right? And create
create
something
something
new.
new. And it's there, and now we have a beautiful new tool, and we need to utilize it. And as long as we communicate how to utilize that, and communicate to the masses that it is something that's that can be used in that way, and will be used in that way because of where it's come from, where it is now, and then what it's going to be in like the next 10 years for sure. mean, if not 2 years, really. I have kind of a projection that's really only about 2 years out, but for sure within 10 years is my mind, where it's just, it's going to become a tipping point. The scales, I mean, we look at Starlink, right? And other satellite projects like that. Half the planet doesn't have access,
yeah.
Right? We're about to give the other half of the planet access.
Exactly.
What is that going to look like?
Yeah.
You know, as regards to all technologies, and especially digital currency, because it's just easier to implement.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that is the path in which we're going, for sure.
I'm really grateful that you express or articulate, described exactly what I wanted, you know, because...
Wonderful.
No, because, you know, how to like translate this vision into, because this is going to be the challenge, and I'm you know, I'm sure there's like really skilled and talented creative people out there with an, let's say, with an emotional imagination, like capability, how to touch people, right? And that's why I wanted, you know, because you said solution, right? So I said, okay, why don't we, that, like the very first scenes, even if it's just the first 30 seconds, like just give them a glimpse into the future. You know, not some, again, not some sci-fi, you know, like, you know, beyond utopian sci-fi thing that's maybe just too right. far away, like 1,000 years. I'm really talking about like technology that could be developed right now. Or,
right now.
You know, I just saw a picture, I think it was, I was quoted, actually it was a quote from one of the articles of Safed Namous, if you've read his book or some other article he cited. And it was actually from Brent Prentice, who is also in our group, who, you know, created okay. this website, What the Fuck Happened in 1971, you know, when they
yes, were, I just
when
saw they that. Went, I
exactly.
Saw
that. Yes. And a lot of things, I mean, just look at the pictures and the data and the numbers. It's just mind boggling, you know? And when you see like the, it's called something like the world like record, like the highest world flight speeds
right
by yeah. airplanes, and yeah, it really right. like stagnated like exactly starting from 1971, you know, because mm-hmm. you know, we had like Concorde and all these, you know, supersonic airplanes, and then all of a sudden everything like slowed down, suppressed, or whatever, or just, you know, it's not only time that has been stolen from us through this centralized monetary cartel system, you know, the central banks and governments, but it's actually the technological innovation that's been stolen from us. And this is, I don't know why I'm so, you know, passionate about the technological innovation, because I think this is the key. Bitcoin is the key to real freedom that we have never had. We don't even know what freedom looks like, you know.
No,
so
don't.
what's your take on that? I mean, you know, would you say this is like, if we can like give people you know, a concrete vision, a concrete, you know, visualization of what the future can literally look like, in a whatever,
right,
so, three private cities with ocean builders, you know, with Grant Grumman building those pods mm-hmm. on land, on sea. I mean, it's amazing what kind of things are already possible, you know?
Well, if we think about all the suppressed technologies over the last 120, 30 years, right, maybe more, that have set us off to a path of just control, and that's what it seems to be always, right? How do we control this thing so that we can generate as much revenue off it, right? Planned obsolescence is a key to an engineer's design, right? And they build it only so good so that the warranty runs out and then it breaks, right? So that is the mentality across the board, everywhere. They're like, how do we get the most out of this thing, right? And if the technologies, advanced suppressed technologies are released, which we have one now, Bitcoin, right? So that is one of those advanced technologies that, if somehow suppressed early on, we would look back and said, wow, we would have really went down a different path, right? All of humanity would have really went down a different path. And we can look at that with now what's becoming more buzzwords, like Nikola Tesla, right? And his AC versus DC, and where we went with that. That split of technology there, it changed the entire landscape of humanity. Like everything, literally, there's poles all over the place. Ugly, nasty power poles and power all over the place where that may not have ever existed, right? I mean, that's incredible to think that if JP Morgan would have stuck with Tesla and kept that funding there and let Wardenclyffe Tower do what it was supposed to do, and then scaled from there, the world would have been completely different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
And that's the same thing that's going on right now. We're at a pivotal point in humanity, and I believe Bitcoin is most definitely at the center of that, along with many other interesting technologies in AI and things like that. So it's all it's all very exciting, very, very exciting. And I think we're very privileged to be here right now, to be able to experience it, because we're all young enough to really see what it's going to do, because we should all have at least 10 years in us, I'm hoping. So, I have conversations with my children about it all the time. And we as a family are very excited for all the good that's going to come from these types of technologies.
Before I ask you the other question, what is your wife and your kids like? Do you talk like about Bitcoin, or what's their?
Oh yeah, so my children have accounts. I have them invest it, so they understand it. They watch it. They know it. You know, they're working on the dialogue. They could have a general conversation about it. I mean, they're 8 and 10 years old, so it's not like they're high level breaking it down, but probably better than most. Yeah. Wow. So the wife is supportive of the whole thing. She loves that I get into projects, and these type of projects are really geared to helping people. I'm in a startup right now as well that has to do with developing holochain technology to manage our intellectual property and help monetize that. So that being said, it's like the tech is there for all of us to use, and it's going to fast track and bring, like in my particular experience, it's going to bring a level of confidence to the masses that they can actually have a system that they can trust, right?
Right.
Because that's one of the biggest reasons why a lot of things just don't happen, because people are holding back because they just don't trust it.
If we have a serious trust issue in our society.
Major trust issue.
On every level.
All of us collectively.
Right.
Because we've all been burned to some level, right? Yeah. Somewhere, somehow, if it's not a salesperson, it's a government, right? Mm-hmm. And they've all kind of learned from the mafia. So in my mentality, it's like the same model. It's this really destructive model. And they front like they're there to help. And it's not fooling as many people as it used to. So you may have heard this, it's called the 100th monkey. Mm-hmm. And the 100th monkey, I feel, is a real, real thing, especially as regards to Bitcoin. So there's something that will literally click, like a switch that will go off, almost biological. You know, we could say that it's maybe just exposure through media or other means, right? Word of mouth, whatever. But there is a tipping point.
Yeah.
And when that happens, mm-hmm. we're just gonna see it, boom. It's just gonna go. And there's not gonna be any stopping.
And do you think it's gonna happen like much more unexpectedly than you know, like we Parker Lewis with this article, series of articles, gradually and suddenly. And
I don't think that.
Right? Yeah, and, you know, Hesmer Cook, you know, the preacher of auto-DCAing of Bitcoin, he said something like, as a reply to a tweet, he said he'd rather have, like, I don't know, millions or billions of people, auto-accumulating Bitcoin or something like buying Bitcoin on a regular basis than, you know, a few hundred, you know, like Michael Saylors who have, like, nearly, you know, bought 450 of $500 million worth of Bitcoin. I mean, and it's you know, it's gaining traction. So something is happening, you know, behind the scenes. Some, you know.
Yeah, I would say that we're going to see that spike probably well into like when it's sitting at somewhere at 150,000, right? So we're going to see this ridiculous, like from here to that, like bang, right? Yeah. And then from there, it will take the probably the form of the other one to trickle towards a million, right? Mm-hmm. It'll be more of a now. People, it's being used at a different level. It's being understood at a different level. People are interacting within its environments differently. But it's just going to be all of a sudden. There, it's going to be an excitement because of some global event, whatever that happens to be, and then everyone's just going to say, boom.
Right.
I mean, not everybody, but a large percentage. I could say that maybe when that global connectivity happens, mm-hmm. you know, when high speed, low latency internet is given to the rest of the population, that we're going to probably see an interesting spike in a lot of things, especially Bitcoin.
Wow, yeah. Very exciting. You know, you mentioned something about the technology, you know, the suppression of technology or whatever, like this, you know, this whole, what I'm getting at is that when I'm watching, you know, the discussions around technology in general, do you have the feeling like there's so much emphasis on, you know, I love everything, you know, around technology, you know, but it's too much emphasis, whether it's Elon Musk or what is the other guy's name, Ben Gertzel, you know, all these guys that are into, like, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, robotics, information technology, computer, and, you know, we see that. I mean, look at the smartphone, you know, it's, I get that, it's exponential, but what I'm trying to ask sometimes is, like, why have we never questioned, you know, the stance, you know, the standstill of the other areas of technology, whether it be energy production or flight systems, transportation technology, energy conversion, recycling, whatever, environmental technology. I mean, anything you can think of, why, where is that?
Well, it's there. I mean, I'm working on water, food, and energy systems. I got heavily involved in the seasteading efforts, and I sat on those working groups specifically because they are of interest to me. My startup has a lot to do that. We're pushing sustainable food systems right now. We have amazing patents on systems that will basically feed entire residences, high-rise structures. I mean, produce food, fresh water, energy, fish, mushrooms, everything. It's all a big, breathing, living engine. And once it started, it just keeps going. So it's quite amazing. Mm-hmm. And those are our goals. So there are people working on those type of fundamental technologies, right? The other ones do allow us to kind of, like I mentioned, fast track some of this stuff, because now smart contracts, right? And we can manage all this stuff through those type of things. And manage the monetization through the tokenization of things, right? And so now everybody's attached through this, and they're getting paid. Their royalties are all being distributed evenly and fairly and fast, and things to that effect. So,
which we could build on the layers of Bitcoin, like, you know, because we have the root. You know, we have the root.
We have the foundation. If we were to use it as a foundation, right? Those roots. In it, there is all these other techs that will benefit from it. So projects that are about food or water or energy, right? About sustainable projects like that, they'll utilize this tech as well. Because now it's about cutting out that middleman that's just skimming the fat, right? And then we just get after it. So now we all have more resources to put back into our projects. And I think it's very important to have this. And we are utilizing it. We're a lot of projects are dealing in this in the cryptocurrency space, right? And predominantly Bitcoin. So I'm excited about it. I think that we are going to see, like I mentioned, the Starlink, but we'll see Hyperloop, we'll see drone taxis, we'll see all this interesting, all within the next, you know, I'm putting it at about 10 years for sure, where now we can live anywhere we want, right?
Yes.
There's no population.
There's no overpopulation bullshit, you know. I mean,
it's all bullshit. It really, really is.
Right. About transportation and, you know,
it's all about transportation.
Essential
resources. If anyone
resources.
That's flown somewhere and looked down or driven across a country anywhere, a bunch of open space everywhere, right? Feel like, oh, you can't feed them. Not with existing systems, but we can feed them. Absolutely can feed them. The math has already been done. The structures and the technologies are in place. They just need to be hybridized and implemented like so many other technologies. And then there's not even an issue.
That's exactly what I want to show. The very first scenes. Do you think most people just don't have a hard time, Let alone like understanding, comprehending, you know, the possibilities, the real possibilities. It's not like some sci-fi utopian, you know, bullshit. It's like, this is real, and we're not far off.
All the tech is available right now.
Right. And did you read Jeff Booth's book, like The Price of Tomorrow, Why Deflation is the Key to an Abundant Future? I had, you know, also, I brought him together with Titus Gebel of...
Yes. I saw the interview. I've not read the
It was
book.
A great interview. Unfortunately, I had connectivity issues. So thanks God, you know, Stephanie
It was still smooth. It still worked
yeah.
out for
a yeah, yeah. yeah. So, you know, and I'm like, do you think most people have a hard time imagining even that this is possible? That it's not like some, you know, distant, far off thing, you know? It's
oh,
like,
absolutely. Because this is one way that I've tried to explain it. Is that when people are in survival mode, they're not even utilizing all of their processing power, right? So they simply are about like, right now, how do I do this? How do I feed myself? How do I support my family? That's it, right? They can't even have, so I've had, because I'm a futurist, I'm an innovator, like that's what I live in that space. You know, people say you find peace when you're in the moment. Yeah, that's not my peace. my piece is in the future, and they go, well, that's you know, that's not the way. And I'm like, okay, that's not your way, but it's my way. It gives me hope, the hope that these huge, beautiful changes are going to happen. And then when I'm in my space, my current moment, then it gives me peace, knowing that I live and operate in the future, and I see beautiful things.
Yeah. Right?
So we're going to make amazing changes. All the technologies are here. We're all, I mean, think about living in a home that provides all your water, all your energy, all your food, right? And
your clean environment on top of that, like whatever
it's all
is,
sustainable.
You know,
I mean, it's a closed loop system. That's what we've been designing. Nothing goes out that negatively impacts your environment.
Yeah.
All of the technology exists. It all just needs to be brought together, packaged nicely, made affordable, and made available.
Yeah. Right?
So, and we're getting there. We're definitely getting there. Yeah. So we're
because
super
you excited. Josh, my first question was like, you know, I can imagine anything. You know, I have a very concrete visualization of the trailer, at least just the first 5 or 10 minutes. But my first concern was like, you know, are people gonna be able to handle that? Like, is that like, or are they gonna like, oh no, this was like, you know, futuristic, you know, utopian bullshit. And I have this concern, but on the other hand, you know, if we have like, you know, credible resources, like super interviews with credible people, like who are working, like literally working, like entrepreneurs, innovating, you know, like people like you, you know, like it can bring somehow, you know, not only the emotional touch. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to do with this visualization, with this film, but like,
yeah, if they're seeing something they cannot connect to, right, technologies that they don't feel are current, right, then there's no transition, there's no bridge for them, mm-hmm. right, so they're not going to cross. So the goal is to build the bridge, and the bridge is events that occur on a day to day, right now, that they can relate to, right. And show that situation improve just this much, okay. Just improve this much,
gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, that's attainable. That's just like this much, right?" It's going from a brick phone to a small smartphone. It's going from where you know no one can afford this monstrous brick phone, right? From the 80s, now everybody has this amazing smartphone that just goes in their pocket and has all these apps, and it's you know, it's like. They wouldn't be able to see that, but we can help bridge that because we've seen it happen now, and they've seen it happen. Most people alive have seen the crazy old phones, and they've had those old technologies, and now they know what they've come to. So we can communicate the same thing with Bitcoin and how on a day-to-day it will build that bridge for them. And then I would say that a lot more people will be able to visualize it because it's not so far-fetched. It doesn't feel like sci-fi at that point, you know?
Yeah. It's so wonderful because you pretty much describe everything that I had, you know, I tried to articulate in my article or in my communication with all. So I think what's really important, you said something about like, or I would describe it as like the description or the visualization of, because about the question, how does the daily life of the average person gonna look like? You know, when we talk about deflationary technologies, like Jeff Booth talking about, like, what does it feel like? What is it? What does existence look like when people, all of a sudden, in this kind of society or in a free private city, whatever, citadel city, start like paying less and less for better, more innovative products, technologies, services? I mean, mm-hmm. what would life be like? People can't even comprehend what it's like, not even our parents or grandparents.
You gave me a vision right there, right? And the vision is an impoverished person that was given a bit of a technology, like a smartphone, right? An older version or whatever. And as they're walking through their dirt street, their shanty town, whatever it is, that is a large percentage of the population, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
And then they're making a purchase of something that everybody knows is expensive typically, and that particular person would not normally be able to purchase that, right? And you see them scan it for an amount of Bitcoin translated in the screen somehow to a dollar amount. They're like, there's no way it costs that, you know? Yeah. You know, whatever people strive for, big screen TV or whatever, right? Yeah, I don't know what it is, right? That there's a poor person just doesn't get that type of thing, right? And you think they're poor, and then you realize like everyone's transitioning. The community is culturally restructuring. So you see them buying building material, you know, was this price, now it's this price, boom. You know, water systems, purification systems, gardening equipment, whatever. Right? Where right. It was completely unattainable for them, right?
Especially but when now, you compare that to today's price, whatever,
to today's
since,
market.
Or since 1971, you know, everything that has like, actually it's been hyperinflationary, what we've been seeing, you know, in the last few decades, whatever that is, you know, education, housing, medical costs, everything. I mean, even food.
Yeah. So everything, yeah, absolutely. But if you start showing those things, the prices people already know, they know what those things cost. You're like, wait a second, it can cost this much if these systems are implemented, and this is the tool that is going to, Bitcoin is one of those tools that are going to help it get there.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
If that story can be told, then we've succeeded for sure.
Yeah, and the story, like once people really understand, oh my God, this is really possible, then we can still go, you know, into the whatever you want to call it, the intellectual discussion, the the comprehension process of, you know, central bank, governments, inflation, hyperinflation, systematic theft, you know, which is perpetrated. I mean,
is to hold the attention of those that are already in the space, right?
Yeah.
So we have to play to the market, and the market is, we have an audience of people that are informed and an audience of people that are not informed that are the majority, and we want that audience to be able to understand the true benefit, because this audience that knows, they know it's going to help this one, this other audience, they know, but that bridge is what we really have to build to where we're explaining to everyone the overview, all of this transition into the higher level, and then probably taper off with the overall benefit of what it's really doing,
you know? Right.
So it can, and I believe it will be done. You have a great team. You know, I don't know them all personally.
No, but super.
But I've looked at some of their work, and
yeah,
I've read through some of their visions for what it is, and I honestly believe that it can be done. It's simply now, like so many other things, just getting the resources in place, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think the talent is there for sure.
Exactly.
It's getting the resources in place, and the trailer is a huge component to that, right?
Yeah.
So it is what can be used to market it, and we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I got some information out to some people in the industry. I did work at Disney for a little bit, so
oh, cool.
I was in the animation department there for a little bit in operations, and I'm hoping that I can kind of stir some backup assistance to some of our lead guys, because it's a big task. You know,
yeah,
there's a lot of moving parts to make a quality animation for sure, and
costly. And yeah,
it's costly. But if you have a lot of sincere people that have the skill levels and see the vision, we might be able to get there for a lot less than what a normal just full-blown production would cost if we were going the traditional method.
You know, one of my best friends, she actually lives in near Beverly Hills or California, and she's really one of my longtime friends, and she's like super connected, you know, also like she you know, she renovates and what they call restores and designs you know, homes of billionaires, and she's like, she knows really super, you know, really ethical people too, you know, within, because there's a lot of people who said goodbye to Hollywood and they want to do their own thing. So I'm, you know, I'm counting on those people. So once we have something like a really quality, high quality trailer or some kind of credible, you know, script, and it's strong and effective, you know, it's really and emotionally translated and it's really good, then I think we can all, you know, somehow get together and get this thing going.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, they'll see it. They'll see it. And you're right. There's a huge move away from these traditional systems into so many newer, more sustainable systems.
Yeah.
And people are opening up to these alternatives, right? So it's not only just a feel-good thing, right? They really are, like my business partner, you know, he says, the things we're doing are for our children's children's children's. He always says that, and he says it, and I'm like, I get it, man, I get it, that we have to think generations ahead, right? We cannot just be like us and how it's gonna benefit me and my immediate family right now. It's like, if we can have the visions and create models that are gonna to give them the foundation to truly get to where we want to see, like this beautiful, almost paradisaic environment, right? Because we can do it. We've seen it in isolated places. The earth is beautiful, and the technology we have, we can implement restorative technologies, right?
Yeah.
Not even just sustainable. Like, even that term, you'll see people now in the space, they're not so much using sustainable as much as restorative. And I love that. Just that right there is huge. So they're going into a space and they're not like, well, we're not messing it up any further. Right, that's sustainable. They're actually going in, not only not messing it up any further, they're improving it. They're bringing it back to its original state, and creating a thriving environment. Right, so we move out of this whole survival mentality, this whole just let's whatever it takes kind of mentality to suck air and continue on, and to let's thrive now. Let's really, really get to a position where we can use all of our faculties because we're not stressed out, right? We're not in fear because the system is keeping us collectively in a state of fear so that we can't function, right?
Yeah.
So these type of projects are part of that whole collective of really helping readjust the psyche of the masses to have hope, right? And that it's not 50 years from now, it's 5 years from now.
Yeah, and you know, we come back to this, you know, core issue of trust, because you know, I always say, you know, hope is good, but like having trust, like trusting, you know, in our own abilities, whatever skills, knowledge, wisdom, in our vision. And you know, you talk about like, what do you want to call it, like low time preference or lowest time preference. As I'm becoming father, I mean, I've always been like that, and like visionary and always like long term, what can we achieve? But now that I'm becoming father now in December or something, I'm like, this is getting more, you know, stronger
huge
than ever, you know, like,
absolutely,
like what kind of world, like what kind of planet, like what kind of environment do I want to, you know, leave behind? What kind of structures do I want to leave behind, you know, for our daughter?
No, absolutely, absolutely. And we have all the tools, and we're definitely going to get there.
All right. So, Josh, I really enjoyed our talk. Let's just wrap this up. Where can people, you know, find more about you? What, anything, you know, when you tell about yourself?
Sure.
You missed?
So the start that I had mentioned is it's OU812, right? And it's a interesting name that, in my interpretation of it, has to do with kind of consuming something that changes you. Right. So when you heard kind of a negative spin, you drank the Kool-Aid. Right. So you consume something that's healthy for you. And in that, it's made a change. It's had an impact on you. So the name was there, and I pushed back a little bit on it, but it's grown on me, and people are aligning to it. So ultimately what it is it's an innovation engine that is on contracts now, traditional contracts, but it's about pooling intellectual property, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can compete with corporations and Goliaths. And so if you look up OU812, that's what we do. And we're just in the startup funding phases right now. And we've made some good traction. We've partnered with made some good strategic partnerships to get us into the UAE and Africa and a few other strategic areas. So we have patents throughout global patents as well. And we think that it's gonna do some real good to, and it's based on the open source as well. It's kind of a different spin on it. It's a protected open source. So it basically allows it for educational personal use. All the technology is open for educational personal use. It's just not allowing corporations to take advantage of it.
Exactly. This is what about,
our innovators.
Not like the traditional patent system, which is totally insane.
Well, it's a hybrid, and the goal of us is to eventually phase out the patent system as well.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have any issues with that. It's just that is the model that exists right now and is accepted globally in a lot of spaces, right? So once that's another area where blockchain and things like that type of technology can assist, because then now it's validating all of those things. So you don't need the government component doing it through the patent system.
We don't need any government at all.
we really will not. So that's another bridge. So the bridge is protected open source, and then phase out the traditional patent system and transition into our own system that we're building from scratch. So we have the hardware and we have the software, and we're looking to develop that right now.
So. Wow, so exciting. Josh, we're going to talk one to one another anyway in our group, so we'll be in touch. Thanks so much. This was really one of the most fascinating talks I've ever had, because you've actually expressed and articulated most of what I've actually been trying to communicate, communicate my vision for this project.
Well, I always say that the solution is in the discussion. So if we're not talking about it, we're not solving anything. that's what we're doing here.
All right, Josh. Take care. I'll see you soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Wow, this is exactly what I've been waiting for, this amazing talk with Josh Lopez. He's an amazing entrepreneur, innovator, technologist, creative soul and mind. So if you want to join us in our group and you deeply understand the essence, the potential, the vision of Bitcoin in a more holistic sense, and you want to create a new civilization, whatever that is, free private cities, citadels, it's not some kind of dystopian bullshit as we discussed. So make sure you follow Josh Lopez on LinkedIn for sure. I'm going to put up his website, but also make sure, please, that you like, share, retweet, and subscribe, follow me, subscribe to my YouTube channel, to my podcast platforms. Any positive review or rating would be awesome. And if you want to contribute, if you want to support us in any shape or form, whether it be on a creative side or sponsoring or as a multiplicator or funding, or you have just experience within the film and the movie industry, or it would be graphics, music, pre-production, post-production, you get in touch with me, read my short article Human Life Rooted in Bitcoin, which put this in the show notes again. So thanks so much for your support, for your open-mindedness, for your vision, for your for your really strong intentions. And I'll talk to you soon again. My name is Kevin Devandi, Total Connector, and have a good day.